The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up. Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord. Have you ever been asked the question, which would you rather lose, your hearing or your sight? And I always say, one eye, one ear. I can't imagine not being able to see or to hear. I can't. As the older I get, it's more mind-boggling. But of course, there are many people from birth who can't see or can't hear. There's a man by the name of Scotty, I don't know his last name. He comes here to the 1210 Mass every once in a while. He's at every pro-life event. You can always see him with his cane walking around. Nothing stops this guy. Nothing stops him. He's always here in the front pew, and when there is a response, he says it. It's out there. So now Scotty may be physically blind, but I don't think he's spiritually blind. And, of course, that's part of the play in the scriptures. You know, the Pharisees could see physically, but they were blind spiritually. And in our readings today, it's clear that God cares for and cares about everyone. The blind, the lame, the widow, the orphan. He's concerned about everyone. And the first reading from Jeremiah, God says, "I will bring everybody back from exile." That was exile in Babylon. "I will lead the blind." So he's right the front of his thought is, "I'm going to lead those who need to be led." That's a good shepherd. That's a good pastor. He's not going to leave them in the rear or have other people take care of them. He's going to do it. He cares for the blind and everyone else. And in the scripture, the gospel today, we have the story of Bartimaeus, a beautiful story. Man says, "Son of David, have pity on me. I want to see." He gets his sight back. Can you imagine getting your sight back after not having it? Can you imagine what went through that guy's mind? I can't imagine either. I mean, to see color, to see light. So Jesus is concerned, obviously, not only with the spiritual part of our lives, but he's also concerned about the physical part of our lives. And not just in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well, we have stories of healings that are going on, amazing healings. And there's one in particular that is in the Old Testament. It's kind of a goad to the Jews because the person who's healed is a foreigner. He's a pagan. And yet he gets healed of leprosy. That was a big deal back then. But he comes from Syria. He doesn't think he should wash in the Jordan River, but he does, and he's totally healed. Naaman, the great general of the Syrians, he's healed. Again, can you imagine, after all those years, being healed of this horrible disease that really put you away from other people? Now, I don't know why he was still a general, but he was. And the king respected him for that. But God wants our healing, physical healing, Spiritual, yes, that's a given, but physical as well. And so the question that we have to confront as Catholics, because I don't think we see it clearly or understand that the reality of physical healing is still at the forefront of God's mind. What do we say? So-and-so is sick or someone is blind. Well, I'll pray for them. Well, that's a good thing. But what do we think is going to happen? We're going to convince God to give sight to this person. That's not how it works. Prayer is supposed to change us. When we pray, we are saying to God, I desire you. I want to open up my heart so that I can get all your blessings and gifts, so that I can do what you did, so that I can go out into the world and heal people physically, spiritually, even raise the dead. Because that's what Jesus says we can do. He says, before he leaves the earth at the ascension, he says, you will do these things and greater things. He's saying, what I did, you're going to do, because you've got my spirit. And we talk about charisms. We don't really talk about them much in the church. Certainly during the charismatic renewal, and that's still going on, obviously, there was a lot of talk about healing, about taking the charisms and saying, is it just a nice thought, God, that you gave us that we want people to be healed physically? Or did you really mean it? Did you really mean it? In the Acts of the Apostles, we have stories of these healings. We have the disciples going out two by two, exercising and healing people. And do we look at the scriptures as this history book that's over and done with, or do we say it's a textbook for us, it's a blueprint for us to follow now? So if healings were going on back then, why aren't they going on now? They are, of course, they are. I know, have many of you ever heard of Father Richard McAleer? Where have you been? He's a priest that for decades has been going around doing healing services. He usually comes to our diocese and does maybe three services, and the churches are packed, absolutely packed. And he's got a charism of healing, all kinds of healing, and people are healed. But he's not special. He's not special. He would say that to you. He would say, we all have charisms, many charisms, teaching, preaching, healing, hospitality, and it goes on and on and on. And so as Christians who look to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, we're supposed to be saying, what's my charism? What are my charisms? What are they? Do we ever talk like that? Do we ever say, is there a process for kind of finding out what they are? Yeah, there are processes, actually. In fact, I was just reading in Christianity Today that I think it was 43% of evangelical pastors believe it's important for their people to know what their charisms are so that they can use them. It should be 100%. That should be one of the main goals of every church, every parish, to help people find out what their charisms are, practice them, and then use them. So that when someone comes into church and has, let's say, a terrible disease, they want healing, there are all automatically people getting up who have the charism of healing and go and pray for that person. But miracles happen not because we tell God to perform them, but because of the faith of people who follow Jesus. That's what this blind man had, Bartimaeus. He had faith. Jesus says, it's your faith that saved you. It's his faith. Jesus is just recognizing it. He's just saying, yeah, you got faith. In a sense, he healed himself. But all of us are called to take the charisms we've been given, to understand what they're about. And as Sherry Weddle says, and she has a whole system of helping people find out what their charisms are, if you think this is a charism that's yours, try it out. For 2 months, try it out. Every possibility, every opportunity, try it out. That makes sense. I mean, how do you know if you're going to like skating unless you try it out, right? It's like anything. I want to play an instrument. Well, what instrument? Well, try a couple of them. But God has given us these charisms. And what are we doing with them? And I sort of plead with you on this because as a priest, in this day and age, not only people coming for counseling or confession, but you can see the suffering in the world, the terrible suffering, the people wandering because they don't know the Lord, they don't know the healing desire of the Lord, and we don't know what our charisms are so that we can be Jesus Christ to other people. Because as disciples, people who are baptized, we're called to be another Jesus Christ in the world. So Jesus healed, he fed people, multiplied food. Now, wouldn't that get people's attention? You run a restaurant, you just have to cook one meal and it keeps repeating. Well, not in that sense, but can you imagine? See, and the purpose of it is not to get people's attention, it will, but to show the extravagant love of God, that God really does love us. He wants our healing. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to flourish. He wants us to go out and do great things in his name. And as we know from Scripture, anything is possible with God. But do we believe that? Do we believe that? Again, I think the default for Catholics is, you know, I'm not worthy. I don't know all the details of my faith. And yet you read the stories of many saints. They were very ignorant people, but they had faith. They had faith. They wanted to please God because they loved God. So in that sense, we're all equal. We are all equal. And God does not withhold his blessings, his charisms, based on education or status or wealth or whatever. He doesn't. He just gives them to us. But again, for them to really get rooted in our lives and in the world, we've got to take the time to, with other people, say, I wonder what my charisms are. Here's a list of them, and there are many, many of them. I wonder if this one and that one is. And then you read about, what is that charism all about? What might happen if I started using that gift? That's what charism means. What would start happening if I started using that charism? And then, just as Jesus sent people out two by two, go with another person and try out the charism. I think not only would we be surprised at the power that God has and is willing to give us, but we would be surprised that poor little me is really loved by God, really trusted by God, and entrusted by God with these charisms, these gifts, to go out into the world and use them for healing purposes of all kinds, and other things as well. But every one of us, it doesn't matter how young we are, how old we are, we know, saints of ages 10, 12, 15, so, you know, those of people like me up in the 60s, I got to make up a lot of time and space, you know. But the charisms are here. They're in our midst. What do we do? How are we going to find out what they are? So I want to send you off with that thought. And if you want to be in touch with me about that, please do. But there are ways of processing this, of identifying our charisms, of practicing them, using them. So not only can we see how we really are standing in the place of Christ, we are part of the priesthood of the people who go out and lead people, but that God really wants us to use those charisms to make a difference in people's lives. And we can do it. We can. Because God always follows through on his promises. So you all have charisms. I have charisms. Do we know what they are? Are we working on them? Are we studying them? Are we honing them so that we can get better and better at them and then draw other people into that and then actually do something that only a person with this particular charism can do in the name of Jesus Christ? That's our call. That's what God has endowed us with, these wonderful blessings and gifts. But again, it's up to us to say, okay, I'm going to try it. I want to do it. I will put my effort and my energy into that so that I can be one who does exactly what Jesus does, so that when Someone calls out to us, hey, help me. We'll go up to them. What do you need? Maybe we'll have the exact charism they need at that moment to find whatever they need. But there are people out there calling. Question is, are we hearing that call? And are we answering it?